Hey, road trippers. It's your road tripping fam here. Alec Lipton, Channing Fry, Richard Jefferson. And we would love to tell you about a product that we personally use every single day. And we love if you follow us on social media, if you follow the podcast, whether watching or listening, I'm sure you know exactly where we're headed with this. It's called Athletic Greens, AG1. We all take it, love it. One scoop and 8 ounces of water. We'll tell you a little bit about it, but first, guys, you're still using it every single day. Packets, scooping the water on the go.
Scoop it and dupe it.
Scoop it and dupe it, huh?
Scoop it and chug it.
Scoop it and chug it. That's how we like to do it. I'm Richard.
Sometimes when things are going well.
Rich, you were actually just traveling for a week.
That's the only thing, honestly.
Did you take your AG1 with you?
The only thing that kind of keeps me regimented, because sometimes the workouts come and go on the road. Sometimes the eating healthy comes and goes on the road. You know what I'm saying? Like, those are the two things that are the first thing that go. But, like, if you can keep a healthy, you know, packet, just something to kind of keep you going so you're not eating Starbucks coffee and cheddar sandwiches every freaking morning on the road. Like, so that's what I do. I have that as my breakfast. I'm good. I keep it pushing.
So it gives you a peace of mind, packed with 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, and even probiotics. I'm a big fan because I have been able to eliminate every other daily vitamin in pill form, which is nice. Opening every single bottle and making sure I'm taking the correct ones. It's all in one packet or one scoop. Again, we love it. And with season coming, Channing's getting back on the road as well. It's just that daily assurance for us. So to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you one free year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/roadtrippin and take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance today. Again, go to athleticgreens.com/roadtrippin and get started today. Welcome to this edition of Road Trippin' with RJ and Channing. I'm your host, Allie Clifton, and Channing is ready to just dive full force into it. We've talked a lot in the past couple of weeks about the NFL fantasy football leagues that are going on, and I logged on today, and Channing was in the middle of his draft, currently still is, right?
Yep. I got to get my bench going. Yep. What in the world, Richard?
I'm going to clean my screen.
Man, fantasy basketball is so wild. Because guys that are really, really good don't necessarily get bid for the most, right? Like, guys like Kawhi, I think, is going to have a great year, but he's not playing. How many games is he going to play, right? So guys who are usually healthier and can give you a consistent amount of numbers go for a higher rank than guys who may sit out a week, sit out a month, whatever it is, and then come back and play, even though they're better, right? So, like, consistency over the year is huge.
Can you give us your team, or is that a secret?
Right now,
what's your team name?
So first of all, Snotty Drippins.
Sick.
God. That makes me laugh every time. So I got Luka. So I paid $64 for Luka out of 200, right? So he looks in shape. He has better players around him. I'm taking my chance on Luka. And he rebounds well as a guard. So and he shoots good free throws. Ja Morant, I think he's going to have a great early beginning of the season because he's going to have to do more. And I think he wants to be in the MVP race. And then Keegan Murray.
How much did you take Ja for?
$42, which is crazy. That's a steal.
Ja missed a lot of time.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I feel like he's going to be there. And another guy's team name that I've kind of been stealing on my guys is called the Hebrew Hammer. Which absolutely kills me. It's
obviously,
so funny.
It tickles you quite a bit.
It tickles me. And I got Joel Embiid. So I took a chance on him 2 years ago or a year ago, and I won. So I'm taking a chance on him again. I had to pay a pretty penny for him, too.
How much?
For Joel Embiid?
$60. $63.
$60. Yo, how much? What's up with the rest of your roster?
200. I don't need. I mean, I got Keegan
Murray.
You're
going with
a
big three. You're going with a big three.
Yeah, because they rebound, they shoot a good percentage, and then they also get assist. So for me, that's like a plus. And then all I need now is rebounders. So I'm waiting. I'm waiting to see.
Hang on.
God, what is his name?
I think Lauri Markkanen's
going to be good. Yeah, yeah.
Did he just give us an obvious answer? Isn't fantasy off of rebounds, assists, and points?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, yeah. Yeah, because but they rebound well, they assist well, and they can shoot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But in our league, if you get guys who are jackers, you get more negative points. So somebody's just shooting, like James Harden is tough some years. Like when he was in Houston, he could have 40, but yet he was 1 for 2 for 20 because he's getting to the free throw line. Yeah. So like all that evens itself out. So you got to like pick real basketball players. Like Bam was the first pick because of him getting blocks, wow, rebounds, assists. Yeah, and his consistency.
Bam was the
first
pick. I
think Bam's got a breakout year. Yeah.
How?
Yeah, I've never
done
fantasy
basketball. Do you play fantasy
basketball?
No.
It's great.
I barely play fantasy football, as you can tell.
Clearly, we learned that. Having said that, Channing, how much do you have to – you have to change every single day. You have to play that every single day?
No, once a week.
Oh.
Like fantasy football. And that's where the consistency of having a player. And so, not to get nerdy, but if your guy is going to miss 3 or 4 games, you change him out because he's basically missing the week. And so, if you know a guy's on a hot streak, you want to keep him in when he has like 4 games in a week, right? Because you'll get extra points. So – it all makes – it's interesting. Just watching all the games.
Should I join a fantasy basketball league?
Yes. It's a lot of fun,
Richard. What would
your name be? What would my name be? Oh, I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know.
Mikhail Bridges went for $8?
Did Richard just wake up from a nap?
Yeah.
No. I was trying to think to myself, what would my name be? And all the inappropriate things came out.
Like what?
Give us one.
Yeah,
and
No.
Richard would like to keep his job. All right, guys. How's everything else going?
Your life is great.
Life
shaking
is great.
And moving.
Good.
Yeah. Oh, God. We're chilling.
Well, we're good. About to not be because it's a regular season.
Chance, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do you know where Allie is?
Yeah. She's in Toledo.
No.
No,
she's in Detroit.
No.
No.
Detroit Lake.
Ask her where she's at, Channy.
Michigan.
I am.
That's
Michigan.
Not an asking her question.
Oh, she's at her second house.
Oh, can we give a shout out to Allie? We're gonna give a shout out to Allie, first time home buyer. Congratulations, Allie. These are things that should be applauded. You've been
take a sip of that red cup, Allie. Take a
you
sip.
Know,
right. Thank God it only took me 34 years to figure it out.
Yes. And it's, you see, she's got the red cup. Those are the only cups she has in her house.
It is freezing cold. It is 50 degrees. But there are people out on the lake skiing right now. We took our dock and our boats out for winterization. My brother almost lost his feet from hypothermia. But we're Gucci over here. It's great. It's wonderful.
There we go.
Ooh,
so if you guys ever want to come, feel free. You'd fit in just well. I know it.
Let's go.
Okay. Having said that, I do have a flight to catch to get back to LA because, you still remember. Yeah. Take a drink. Because the regular season begins this week. Things open up on Tuesday. And so we thought we would do this week. We did kind of the conference breakdown a couple weeks ago when we were in Vegas based off of odds. And so we thought this time around we would put a little spin on it and we would do NBA player previews. Okay. Based off of odds. So we have a couple different categories, and I want you guys to kind of break it down. Give your thoughts. You like that? How do you think about
it? I love
it. Are we ready? Let's dive into this.
Yes.
We're going to start with rookie of the year. According to this, Paolo Banchero is the favorite from, obviously, the Orlando Magic at 2-1. Keegan Murray, who you have on your team with Sacramento, guard 5-1. Jaden Ivey. From the Pistons, 5-1 as well. Jabari Smith with the Houston Rockets, 6-1. And an Arizona alum, Benedict.
Yeah, I'm about to say, where's my guy Ben?
There he is. 9-1 odds.
He's a sleeper. That's the guy I'm picking. He's the one he just had like 20 something already in a preseason game, was windmilling. Like, All, he's going to get a lot of minutes. They're not planning on winning. Like, he's going to get the – and I think Paolo, what he's going to do is going to be a little bit – I don't want to say not structured, but it's going to be a little bit more, you know, trying to fit in with, you know, Suggs, and he's going to be a dominant player. But I don't know. I think
Orlando make it being 10th in the East this year.
10th?
Yeah.
Are you saying that as an upgrade, or are you saying that it's a good thing as a bad thing?
Yeah, I'm saying they're going to be.
Oh, you're like, because you're like, man, you know what? I don't have them last. I got them 10th this year.
Exactly. Right? Hey, they're not going to be last.
So you're not going with the odds makers and picking Paolo?
No.
No, I think Sacramento is going to be better this year because they have an all-star in Sabonis. I think that they're going to, you know, Keegan Murray is going to get an opportunity to fill in a role, and they're going to be excited. So I'm going to go with Keegan Murray because he's on my fantasy team.
Speaking of Keegan Murray, I was giving these to my brother downstairs before, and Corn Dog picked Keegan Murray. Said he was silky smooth. He was.
I do like Jabari Smith, though. He nice, too, though.
Which one are you looking forward to see?
He's not going to touch the ball enough. He don't know if he's going to touch the ball enough.
True.
Jabari Smith? Love it.
Yeah, he's got Jalen Green, he's got Porter Jr.
Yes, a lot.
He's got some scorers down there with him, and rightfully so. Those guys are trying to figure out themselves. Like those guys are scorers. I'm not saying that in a negative saying, but I just like they're all going to be out there figuring it out. But what they do is scoring.
Out,
he's more of a basketball player.
Okay,
very well.
Defensive player of the year. Rudy Gobert is 4-1. Bam
Evan
Adebayo,
Mobley.
And Robert Williams, not even on this, Channing.
Evan,
Bam Adebayo and Robert Williams, both 7-1. Giannis, 9-1. Dre, 10-1. AD, Marcus Smart, and Mikal Bridges, all around 15-1. Not even Evan Mobley. You're going with Evan Mobley.
He's on there. Yeah.
He's not on there.
Absolutely.
Wow. Defensive player of the year?
Yep.
Why?
Yeah, there's a level of dominance that's needed.
I think here's why. I think it's easier to play good defense when you get better shots up. I think the fact that Donovan Mitchell is going to be another go-get-a-bucket guy, and it's easier to set your defense when the ball is coming out of the basket instead of I think with his versatility, he's going to be – number one, they're going to be seen more than most other teams. They're going to be on a lot more big games. I think the level of competition is going to be, not that it's different, but it is different when people put you in top four of the Eastern Conference. Most people have them top four. Mm-hmm. So I think more people are going to say, holy crap, look at this second-year guy. He's guarding guards. He's guarding big men. He's running up and down the floor. He's getting steals. He's getting blocks. So I'm going with Evan Mobley.
I think Evan Mobley can be all defensive team. I think because Jared Allen, if he didn't get hurt, he would have been. But I'm saying, Jared Allen is also such a very good defender that will hurt. Because no different than how when Williams got hurt, and Marcus Smart. Right. They were kind of splitting votes. Right. As like, and then he went out. Marcus maintained their defense. They kind of tweaked some things. And it was like, it's just hard. I think if you're going to split, and I think Jared Allen's going to be somebody that's, I'm going to say Anthony Davis from this standpoint, hear me out.
I'm for this.
And it's not because he's on the team. I'm for this, and it's not because he's on the team that I cover.
I have been critical of the performance, but I'm critical of the numbers, not the person, right? The numbers are what we talk about.
Yes.
I don't know. I think if he plays like he's capable of, then let's go see it. Let's go see it. That's all I'm saying. It's like if he doesn't get back to that level, then the Lakers are done. Like they have no chance if he doesn't get that. So it's like I'm gonna bet that the Lakers aren't done yet.
Ooh. Look, I had the question to which we're actually gonna get a tweet of yours to yours, Richard. To a tweet of yours, Richard. Use your words, Allie, in a moment. But before I do that, Channing, I will say this. At Media Day, when we had him on the desk, he mentioned a goal of his was play all 82. But he followed that up with, and get back to the elite level player that I can be. Do you think he has that in him?
At this age,
if he's
no.
Available.
And then, no, here's why. Here's why I say no. One, when he was playing elite defense, he was also playing with Drew Holiday, who kept a lot of the basket, did a lot of the basket, kept a lot of the basketballs above the free throw line. Now, Anthony Davis in himself is an absolute specimen on both sides of the floor. But that was young Anthony Davis. That was like 20 pounds lighter Anthony Davis.
2020 Davis that won a championship. 2020
was the one thing. Yes, you could say that. Yes, they were amazing. Look who was guarding. Look who his guards were. Look who was helping him be that way on defense. You can't. Marcus Smart is amazing because he not only does his role consistently, he does it and makes everyone else better. Mm-hmm. Even if Anthony Davis plays perfect defense, he still has sort of older guys around him that may not have the energy that a young team like the Boston Celtics or like when Giannis won, that big old team that he had to work with was on a string. I'm just saying it's not necessarily Anthony Davis. I'm saying it's the help around him that need to have that kind of mentality to make him be a defensive player of the year.
He needs better defenders around him.
Correct. KCP is very underrated. Caruso's underrated. Rondo's underrated when he was healthy. When Bron is locked in on that side of the floor with AD, with KCP, with Caruso, it looks crazy. Mm-hmm. And Dwight Howard was in there causing shit. Like, look at the defensive team. That's why they were so hard to guard. It was just like, don't fuck up your assignment.
It wasn't just because he was an elite defender. It was like their team was an elite defensive team.
And he was, because all he had to do was his job with his talent.
Is this a team award, so to speak? Like, is this award based off of team?
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. Because you're not going to get it if your team is on the 14th ranked defensive team.
Look at Miles Turner. Miles Turner is one of the best defenders in the league at times. And he don't get no love because you're like, well, what are you defending? Y'all losing. are you defending? You got to win and your team got to be good.
Yeah, I know winning matters for all awards. I get that part. I guess I'm just saying, like, where do you have to rank defensively? Is that what you saw around Rudy for the last how many years with him winning the Defensive Player of the Year in Utah?
Yes. Yeah.
Their whole
how much of it is the defender themselves versus the team as a whole defensively?
It's their schemes involved too. It's like we know that the entire Utah Jazz defensive scheme is to run you off the 3-point line and send you into Rudy. Do not foul you and allow, make sure we don't swipe down because Rudy's back there. Don't go for a block. Don't do anything stupid because Rudy's back there. Just keep, don't let the guy straight line you. Don't let the guy have a clear shot. Just make sure that you guard him that one step and allow Rudy to do Rudy. Then he leads the league in rebounding like he did. So like all of the, and they're with that scheme, they're a top 5 ranked defensive team, if not the number 1 ranked defensive team on certain years. So you're like using that scheme with that man as the hub that gets him the award multiple times.
Right. Think about some of the other defensive player of the year awards. Like let's go to Mark Gasol. Like the literal name of their team was Grindhouse. They had Tony Allen, first team all defense, right? Zebo was solid on defense. They had Tayshaun Prince for a time. They had like all these Mike Conley. They had all these guys that literally were like, Mark just has to do his job with his talent, and he's going to just be great at what he's doing. He's going to help us. We're already a good team. When he's there and he's active, he's making us that much better, which I think is the reason why the defensive player of the year sometimes is not just about stats. It's about schemes and players around you. So
Draymond
I
Green.
Don't know if Anthony did. Yes.
My Draymond Green.
Like, I just find the award thing to be, and I'm hearing you guys and you persuaded me. Thank you. But I find it so ironic that when you talk about the MVP, you can actually get hurt when trying to win that award because you're next to elite teammates. Yeah. You know, to your defense point of different. How you break down defense is different.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Before we get to your thought, Rich, about what you said, I believe you're referring to a tweet that you just put out after the Laker game, possibly. The other night, but you have something before the tip that you want to give us a little heads up on.
Before the season gets tipped off this week, I just want to jump into Before the Tip presented by our friends at Athletic Greens. And look,
before the season even starts. I don't care about a single player that is in the NBA. All I care about is Wembanyama. So join the Wembanyama watch with me. Join it with me. Come on. Who's going to get the number one pick? I care about the bottom three teams. That's what I'm going to be watching all year long. That's Before the Tip, presented by Athletic Greens. Tip off every day the right way. Visit athleticgreens.com/roadtripping today. Take ownership over your health and pick up Visit athleticgreens.com/roadtripping today. Take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. That's athleticgreens.com/roadtripping.
Well done. What are you calling it? Webby Watch? Is that what it is?
Yeah, the Webby Watch. Wembanyama Watch.
Wembanyama Watch. Say that 75 times fast. Okay, so after your before the tip, how about this, Rich? Was I correct? You think that Anthony Davis, how this correlates, you're going to break it down for us. He could be Defensive Player of the Year because you think that they're not done. The Lakers are not done. Why do you think that?
Because there's no way to honestly look at that roster with those two picks and think that you're going to waste a year of LeBron James. You're not going to. Like those picks, he didn't sign multi-year extensions. He's not going to just go through this entire year losing again for whatever. There's going to be a move at some point in time, right, before the season's over. There's going to. I don't think there's a basketball mind that doesn't think that. So I'm not saying anything new. But that's why I don't think they're done. So I can't judge them off of what I see right now because I don't think that this is going to be their team. If they, you know, people were talking about the Miles Turner, Buddy Hield trade. If they get that, all of a sudden, now Anthony Davis has the five next to him that he dreams about that's very good defensively, and he gets the move to the four. They both can – like Miles Turner shoots threes. He's a stretch five. Like he can knock down jumpers. He's increases their shooting and their spacing. And then Buddy Hield increases their shooting and spacing. Miles Turner also increases their defense. But the Lakers, they feel like they might be able to get something better out of there if the first 20 games don't go well for the Nets. If there's some Draymond drama. Who knows what's going on in Phoenix? Like they feel like there's a couple of things out there that are floating that you know, maybe a better deal can pop up. They're not going to allow it to get to the trade deadline. They're not going to allow it to get that far. But they're going to give it like 10, 15 games before they pull the trigger.
They, as in the Lakers, feel that there's something better out there. Could potentially.
Easier.
We haven't done it yet.
It's easier. So no team wants to be in the middle, especially not this year. Nobody, unless you're like Orlando or Detroit, where you have those young guys that like, this is my core.
Overachieved.
Overachieved, right? So, but all those teams that have, like, let's say the Wizards are underachieving. They're like, why would we want to be in the middle of the pack? Why not just be bad, trade those, get some more picks, and maybe rebuild? So teams that are in between are going to be like more willing to blow it up than we've ever seen before. And the Lakers are like, well, why don't you start early instead of waiting all that time? So they're like, we'll take that all-star off your hands. You take ours, probably sit them, and then here are some picks. Thank you for helping us out.
Yeah. So interesting. That's, yeah, I just don't think that I don't think they're done. So it's hard to judge them off of this. And I hope that their energy just felt off last game, right? Oh. The last game, their energy felt off.
Their last game, you're saying?
Yeah, their last game. Yeah, their last game, their energy felt off. Okay. Right? It's just,
I just don't know what they are or what they like are trying to do. I feel like they're trying to piecemeal it, and they're being professional, but it's like each one of them has earned the respect to go, why is it not going through me? Or why am I not like the main guy? And then each of them is trying to like work with somebody else that sort of does what they do a little bit, right? It's like Russ needs the ball in his hand. Bron needs the ball in his hands, but Patrick Beverley needs the ball in his hands. Then AD needs to get the ball X amount of times. Like you're just... It's just so many things that just don't fit correctly. There's not enough elite role players for me that makes sense. There needs to be guys that go, like Dorian Finney-Smith, I'm going to get five shots, four of them are threes, and I'm going to play defense, and I'm going to be perfectly happy, and I'm going to give $90
million. And to that point, obviously, when you're bringing in a new coaching staff and you're putting all of these guys together, just a handful of guys return, right? So you're trying to make everything fit, as you mentioned. For Russ specifically, how hard is that on a player when you're balancing that aspect? And then obviously the narrative and the expectations and the constant eyeballs and what's being exposed due to social media and et cetera. What is it that you guys feel he is? I mean, is that even realistic for a player to be able to be successful
in that? No, it's there. This is not an environment for success for Russ, because
hell no.
And I say this and is like, there's certain ways, right? Like you can either just sit back and take it. You don't want to play me. You don't want to do this. Like that's not a great player's mentality. It's not Carmelo's. It's not his. It's not a great player's mentality to just say, just to concede, right? It goes to the complete opposite of that. But also, like, he can't perform at a level that will make him, that will, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you can't, like, perform. I don't know if he can physically play to a place that would make, like, the situation better. So it's like, okay, look, if he shoots 35% from three and he doesn't turn the ball over and he shoots, you know, makes good decisions and blah, blah, blah. If he does that, then we're going to be fine. I don't know if he's capable of playing in this situation, in this team. I don't know if he's capable of doing that. So he can't even perform his way to be a positive situation. So, you know, you're not going to sit back and take it, and you can't perform your way out of it. You're in the worst possible place. You're just like, what do you do?
Yeah.
It's just like, how good can a grilled piece of chicken get? Right. It's just like, oh, it's just grilled chicken with no seasoning. But like, You gotta put things around him. What I'm saying is this: the expectations are, what does he do, and how can he do it that will help this team affect winning? And nothing that he can do is what the Lakers need. Oh, do you need a point guard? Oh, sorry, LeBron. Do you need someone to attack the basket? Oh, LeBron and AD. Do you need emotional leader? Patrick Beverley. So what? Do you need a rebounder? Oh, you have 3 7-footers. So, like, for me, it's like, what can he go, you guys need me? In reality, if you're just looking, not say other teams may need all of that. Like, the Wizards needed all of that. And people were like, dude, we love Russ, and we see it. At times, the Houston Rockets needed all of that. The Lakers, the acquisition of him, you're just like, oh, we didn't really need that. Like, you bought that extra sweater, and it's 90 degrees outside. You're like, I don't really need that. Maybe later I might need it. But it just didn't work. It's just not the right place. Put him on a team that's going to look at him and rely on him to win 41 games, not on a team with two other all-stars who do need and demand the ball and who are younger. Well, AD's younger. And then you're like, maybe we don't need that. And then he gets exposed. And he's trying his hardest. But all of a sudden, he turned into a jump shooter. It's like, God, poor guy.
Well, he doesn't have the athleticism to you know, get past and finish the same way, which is not a bad thing. It's a natural basketball decline.
There's
it's
also
a natural
no spacing, Richard. It's
that's what I'm saying. They don't have shooting. He doesn't even have the spacing around him that he needs to work. He needs shooting right around him. So it's like,
for sure.
Yeah, there's nothing there.
That can't be fun. It can't be fun, because even if he had 40, they're going to clip him throwing that bitch off the backboard one time. And then that's what's going to be. So they don't even – it sucks. It sucks. And listen, he is a pro.
Al, you've been in crypto.com arena when, like, he starts the game and, like, if he misses one jump shot, you can hear the air leave the room. Like,
and you're like, every single move he makes, every single move. And to be honest, I don't think it's always fair to him.
It's not
kind
fair.
Of as you
no,
mentioned,
it's
kind
not
of
fair.
As
no.
you mentioned, we are sitting here because we are meant as broadcasters to not criticize, but discuss, break down the numbers. And instead, it's been taken to a whole nother degree that I believe is unfair for him. And so obviously you'll see this all come to fruition, whether he's on the team or not, as things tip off very soon. So that's something everyone will be watching.
I will say that it is unfair, but he has also contributed to this environment.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to turn him into like this victim. Like, he's contributed to this, but the amount that it is unfair.
Right. He's not going to back down. So the more that he does this, and the more it escalates, he's not backing down from shit. And so he's like, man, fuck y'all. And they're like, well, fuck you. Hey, what's your name? Herbert. Fuck you, Herbert.
Fuck you, Herbert.
That dog commercial? I love that.
Yeah, oh, so funny.
All right, guys, before we get to our final two, which would be sixth man and MVP, I have something that we should all discuss because our next partner has a product that we're personally using every day. We're all taking Athletic Greens. Yes, we are, because we want more energy, better immune systems, and we simply just got tired of taking pills and vitamins. I've been on the road for the last couple of days. I've also had an ear infection, and I've needed my immune system to be the top of the top.
Are you an adult?
You guys?
Yeah.
I know, right?
Adults get ear infections? You hit that with a little Q-tip. Come on, girl.
Yeah, I don't wish it on anyone.
Chicken pox.
Stop it. I got that as a child. Massive oatmeal bass. Having said that, did you guys take your Athletic Greens today? You still love it?
Absolutely.
Oh, come on.
Absolutely.
Come on.
Thanks.
That's how I started.
So obviously, in case you don't know what it's all about, it's basically one scoop of Athletic Greens, AG1, into 8 ounces of water. It's packed with 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food, source superfoods, and even probiotics. And we are all about it. We love it. We push it every single time. We take it every day. It's simple and easy. And so to make it easy for you, Athletic Greens is going to give you one free year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. They're so easy. Just throw them in your bag on the way you go. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/roadtrippin, take ownership over your health, and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Again, go to athleticgreens.com/roadtrippin and get started today. Clearly, I took mine because I have a lot of energy.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Having said that, six-man player preview. I know, right? Here we go.
That was impressive. That's
why I said I can help you out anytime you want me to do your reads for you, Rich.
Jeez.
I'm just kidding. Gosh. You're amazing. Sixth Man of the Year Award. Jordan Poole and Tyler Hero, both favorites at 5-1. How about this one? Malcolm Brogdon. Shouldn't he be starting? Mm-mm. Anthony Simons and Bones Highland all around 15-1. Jordan Clarkson, 18-1. And hey, our guy, Kevin Love. 25-1.
Boo.
Boo the shit out of that guy.
Boo. Malcolm Brogdon, really quickly, Malcolm Brogdon, this is why Malcolm Brogdon should start. Their biggest issue last year was turning over the ball. They were turning over the ball. It was like some decision-making issues. And it's not, look, they did the best that they could. They went to the finals, but like their numbers when they turned the ball over more than 14 times was X versus when it was under. That being said,
who does he start? Why would you not
start the person that's coming in to help fix that problem?
Malcolm Brogdon was brought in. Who's he starting over?
I'm just saying,
you can't say, oh, he should start without having to remove somebody. We do this all the time.
You can put Jaylen Brown at the four. You can put Jaylen Brown at the four because right now,
to guard who? Giannis?
Rich, hang on.
What?
Rich,
What?
Yeah. You finish teams so that we can hear your thought.
Oh, teams go small all the time, like, and play like a wing at the four, right? All I'm saying is that, like, maybe you go small ball, like against the Warriors, they start with Looney at the five, and then they go Draymond at the four, Wiggins at the three. Like, how would that not be a matchup? And that's going to be the best team in the league this year. By far, they looked good. Wiseman, like Poole, those boys look good. I got a ghetto bird above us. Sorry.
We don't hear anything.
And Channing, you don't think so?
No. I think Malcolm Brogdon is a very good player, but has had a lot of injuries. When you put all your best players in your starting five, it does not leave room for your bench. When Marcus Smart comes out, when somebody comes out, now you're inserting someone that has been a rookie of the year that can take advantage of that second unit, and that's going to keep the pace of the game alive. If you have all five and you wear them all out, you're not giving them an opportunity for like Jaylen Brown to pop off, or for, you know, Brogdon to pop off, because Jason Tatum needs the ball a lot to be effective. So when I bring Brogdon in, he's making Peyton Pritchard look good. He's making Robert Williams look good. He's making Al Horford look good. But if he's all in the starting unit, it just, to me, you're just one flavor of ice cream instead of four or five.
Yeah. He's the best point guard on their roster. The best point guard on their roster by far. They were missing a point guard. They needed a point guard. So even if he doesn't start, I could see him starting a bunch of games. See him starting a bunch of games. And I could see also, like, it's just he'll be the guy that's on the court finishing a lot of games. If he's healthy and doing what he's capable of, which we could see him on the court at the end of the – and that's really all that matters.
To me, it's like Andre Iguodala, right?
We're supposed to name our sixth man, Channing. We're supposed to name our sixth man. Who you got?
Yes, Malcolm Brogdon.
That's your sixth man of the year?
Yeah.
Ooh.
That's why he didn't want him in the starting lineup, because he wants him as a sixth man.
Yeah, it's a sixth man. See, Allie, thank you for getting to the truth. I'm like, why is this dude like making it seem like it's crazy?
He was ready for that one.
Mm-hmm.
I also forgot one.
But what? Who?
No, I'm sorry. I forgot a category. I thought you were done, Rich. Okay. You don't have anyone out of there?
No. Jordan Poole. They look good. Wiseman. Like,
that shit is popping. They moving
Kuminga,
different.
Kuminga, he just, like, Steve Kerr kept saying that he just needs more experience. Like, understand this. He was like, it's unfair. He's like, Steph went to school for 3 years. Andre went to school for 2 years. Draymond went to school for 4 years with Izzo. You know, Clay went to school for 3 years. He's like, I went to school for 3 years. He's like, we're looking at this kid. This kid would be a sophomore in college right now. Yeah. Right. Like, it's like he just needs more reps. He needs more experience. And that's what's tough, is that you're grading them at such a young age, when all of us weren't graded the same way and everyone turned out to be very, very good players. So it's like it's an unfair balance of how you're grading these young players. But he's saying he's getting better. He just needs more time, like as we all did, you know.
Yeah.
Steve Kerr went to school for 4 years.
Yeah, you know, the best players from here, they went through 4 years.
Nine championships. It's like there was a value to it. Just the NCAA sucks. That's all.
Thoughts when you saw Jordan Poole's contract?
Yeah, it's about right.
Too late now. Doesn't matter. Get that check back.
Yeah, it's about right.
I mean, were you like, damn, good for you? Were you like right on the money?
I think he got more than Tyler Hero, and I thought that they were probably more on the comp together, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, look, Tyler Hero went to the finals. Tyler Hero was sixth man of the year. Tyler Hero, like, I just thought that their numbers were probably, you know, look, if you got more than him, I'm just saying, like, he got 1 million more or 5 million more or something, 10 million more than him. So, but I think that those two guys,
California
are very,
taxes, you
yeah,
know,
those two are
California
very comp taxes. Together. They're very comp
don't
together.
Remind me.
That's why I bought a home in Michigan. The injection of youth in the Golden State is something I don't know if I've ever seen done so well. Like, if you take Steph, Draymond, and Clay, you're like, okay, what do you have? Jordan Poole, sixth man of the year. You have Wiseman, who is a freak young athlete. Kuminga, you have, and then a culture of winning. And Wiggins, who I think is 26.
Dante DiVincenzo. Yeah,
building, that's not bad. That is not bad. And these boys are super hyped to be with these guys and take advantage of this opportunity. It won't be around. So, to have it's not just a group of old guys. It's like older guys with this 19 to 20-year-olds who are playing at a crazy level. So it's awesome to watch.
I was gonna say, older guys, I can still freaking hoop.
This episode of Road Trippin' is brought to you by Mendy. Mendy offers a line of safe and trusted hemp-derived CBD products. And I cannot skip out on the fact that this is a woman-owned company. I know what you're thinking. Allie, wow, you've never sounded this hype when you're doing these reads. Well, it's because I had a full night's sleep last night. Before bed, I took some of Mendy's sleep tincture and slept through the entire night. I woke up with a ton of energy and was ready to roll, even though I've been traveling nonstop and hosting NBA shows almost every day for the past few weeks. Mendy's products are all natural for pain, sleep, stress, and energy. With Mendy, you have a choice between full spectrum and no THC. Mendy is a safe, inclusive choice if you're new to CBD. And oh, did I mention? They are women-owned. Some things, they're worth saying twice. Listen up, road trippers. You can save 30% off your first Mendy purchase with this exclusive offer. Just enter the promo code ROADTRIPPIN at checkout. That's 30% off your first Mendy purchase when you enter the promo code ROADTRIPPIN at checkout today.
Okay, most improved player. Anthony Edwards, 9-1.
Nah.
Tyrese Halliburton, 15-1. Ooh. Zion, Jalen Brunson, and RJ Barrett all around 20-1.
You notice how it's all, you notice how the number one pick, the number one pick, the number two pick, these are the guys that are like, ooh, we're gonna go on a limb here and say, maybe RJ Barrett. Oh, the guy that was the number three pick. I think the most improved. There's an issue with that. I have an issue with that award. Don't give me the most improved is the rookie of the year that is now going to make a jump to an all-star game. That's a normal jump. That's a normal jump, a normal talent jump. Let's stop applauding. Like, now, if you go from like not making the all-star game to being an MVP candidate, that's not a normal jump. But kind of like how like John Morant, that was a very big jump. But I still think that like when you're the number one pick, the number two pick, the number three pick, these type of expected jumps shouldn't be like at like, I don't want to say shouldn't be rewarded. I mean, we're applauding it like it's not 100% normal. That's why all of the people that you get to vote for right there are all top three picks, because those are the guys that are getting the awards, where I don't think that they should be the guys getting that most improved award. There's guys that like went from like zero playing to 12 points a game. That's a much bigger, that's a like, you know, on a playoff team, someone along those lines.
God, and I hate that I forgot his name. Who's the two guard in Philly?
Maxey.
Yes.
Tyrese Maxey. He's really good.
Yes. It's my really most good. Improved because James Harden's in shape and wants to come off that ball. Joel Embiid is like, I can't do it myself, right? I'll run myself ragged. And Tyrese Maxey's like really embracing that role of like, yo, I could go get a bucket too. I keep that thing on me too.
I would argue too that he probably has, especially out of all of these guys, the most expectations.
Yeah.
When it comes to winning as a whole.
They're healthy. I have Philly number one or two with Milwaukee.
Yeah.
During a regular season.
Can we just kind of say this one more time? Golden State looks really good. Golden State looks really good. Like,
I mean, are you surprised?
Yes.
Well, no, because we haven't seen Wiseman. We hadn't seen Wiseman. So you're like, oh, they're adding the number two pick, right? Like, but Wiseman could be most improved.
But my point is they just won an NBA championship without the number two pick.
Yeah, but you wouldn't think.
Yeah, now I'm saying is that they added that. Kuminga looks like he's going to be able to contribute more this year. So it's like when the champions look better, like it's scary.
I was going to say, you want to say that they look scary, not that they look good.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, they look scary. Because I'm like,
is there anything else you want to get off your chest when it comes to the Warriors?
No. Why?
Okay. Well, I wanted to make sure you got everything you wanted. Because obviously you called the game the other night. So like.
Yeah, I was just more of like, they look good. So you're sitting back and that ball's moving. Klay hits 5 threes in the first half. Just doesn't play in the second half because it's preseason. And that was his first preseason game. He didn't play in anything. So that was his first preseason game. And he just comes off, whopped 5 threes, and said,
"Who they have to practice against is wild now. Like, who these young guys practice against daily has made them take exponential steps of like how they see and think the game. Like, when you're a really good team and you're beating the crap out of your bench, that doesn't make you better on a daily basis. But when you have to play against what everyone else in the league does, a rolling threat like." Wiseman's a rolling threat. Kuminga's an absolute athlete. Then you have Jordan Poole's a bucket and a half. and then you have guys who know just how to play basketball, you're going to be playing good basketball every single day. And that's what you're seeing in preseason. They don't know how to play bad basketball because they're like, well, if we make a turnover, that's 3 points when we play Steph and Clay. So,
yeah.
Oh, y'all don't play defense like we do. Oh, bucket, bucket, movement,
well,
you know?
Think about first unit versus second unit in practice. Yeah. Or in, like, you got Jordan Poole has to either guard Steph or Clay. You got Kuminga is guarding Wiggins or Clay, right? Like when you think about, like, that's who you're matched up with. And, you know, you grow very, very quickly. So to see the growth that their young players have made, and then you add it to the big boys.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ugh. Gonna get interesting.
Scary. All right, the final one. MVP. Luka and Joel, both favorites, around 5-1. Giannis 6-1. KD and Jokic around 8-1. Can Nikola win 3 in a row? And then Tatum, Ja, and Steph all around 13-1. LeBron and Kawhi 20-1. Devin Booker 30-1.
Ooh, Devin Booker.
Handful.
I don't know if Luka's team's going to win enough.
Yeah, I got them six. Hmm. Six or seven.
Yeah, if that doesn't mean that they're not going to, the last couple of years, these MVPs that have been given to Jokic, when you look at these MVPs, typically, they go to people in the top four, top three, number one, number two. Those are a lot of times typical. You get every once in a while, guys' numbers are so crazy. Like when Russ won and he averaged a triple-double, right? And then he averaged a triple-double a bunch more years and was really not considered for an MVP. It was just that first year they were like, oh, we haven't seen this in 50 years. This is yours. So I don't know. I don't know if Luka's going to win enough to put him in the top 2-3 in the conference, because normal years, that's where you have to be to get the MVP.
Top 2-3. Him and Joel are basically the top two. That's crazy.
No, I'm saying top 2-3, like teams. His team. MVP's a team award. Gotcha. MVP's a team award also.
Right. You're top.
Okay, so who's MVP?
Clearly.
I think it's Giannis. I think we sometimes forget how fucking good he is. And like, now that he has no attention on him, it makes him even more dangerous. Like, everyone's talking about the Nets, or they're talking about Luka, they're talking about Denver, or they're talking about Philly, or the Lakers, or Kawhi's thighs. It's like...
You say Kawhi's thighs?
Yeah. You got them triple C thick boys.
Oh, that... Like, people love those memes.
It's so funny.
Okay, so wait, you guys have who... You have Giannis winning?
Yeah.
Channing?
Yeah, I'll go with Giannis. Why not?
Nikola cannot. Do not see him winning.
Well, I think he could. I think he could, but I don't know. Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr. He'd have to. Their team would have to be like one or two. If they finish four or five, like that, you might get some voter fatigue there. You might get some voter fatigue.
You might.
Yeah, and I'm not a voter. I'm just saying based off of history.
Okay, so. Currently, LeBron is 1,325 points behind Kareem. Okay. Needs to average 16.2 points per game over 82 games to sit in that number one spot of points.
I did this last year. He needs 50 games.
Okay. Yes is currently 1-10 odds. 1,000 wins $100 in Vegas. A bet on no is 7-1. Will he get the record this season?
Oh,
there's
God,
there's you can bet for this?
Yes, there is How a bet. Money? I didn't want to say the question or the bet up front because you guys would have reacted and then you wouldn't have listened or heard anything else I said.
No, we didn't anyways.
So I was giving you the, 13-25 behind Kareem over 82 games. He has to average at least 16. Yes is currently 1-10. No is 7-1.
No, I'm betting the yes. How much would $1 million on yes bet get you?
Well, if 1,000 wins 100.
Oh. To make $1 million, you'd win $100,000.
You would break the internet if you bet $1 million on LeBron James to get the scoring record this year.
Yeah, no. That I don't know.
So you guys are both saying yes. Okay, so isn't that weird? Isn't it weird, though?
Yeah.
when you're asked to bet on it and then you guys are like, oh yes, he's getting it. And Channing's like, yeah, in 50 games. And it's like, oh, go place a bet on it. And you're like, oh, that's kind of scary.
No, well, we're not gamblers. There's degenerate gamblers that have already made
Gamblers
those
Anonymous like, too? Is that what your name is?
Yeah, Gamblers Anonymous too.
Ooh, let's take this. Let's take this. Do One you day think I'll he tell does it story, before All-Star break?
Oh. What?
Do you think he does it before the All-Star break?
Yes. Ooh. He could be set up to do it. And I only know this because my birthday falls right there and it's in Brooklyn. But like, there's a chance he could do it in Madison Square Garden. And that's it's like around like the 47 to like 53 game mark. And that's all at the end of January. And you know how he is, where he's very
calculated.
He could probably figure out where he wants to do it.
There's only three places that he's going to do it. It'd be like Garden, Cleveland, maybe Miami if that was the stop, or back in LA. He preferred
LA. Well, Cleveland is in November, so that's
out. So he's not going to get that. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, so I would see the Garden. But I think if he's going to do it in the Garden, he couldn't have missed many games and has to be like balling.
Balling.
Right? Because it's on the earlier side, the Garden?
Yeah, it's at like 49 games or 50 games. Yeah. Okay. It's really right there where Channing has him. Why did you do this last year and why do you have him at 50?
Because I needed to schedule with Turner what day I'm taking off.
Oh, because you guys are going to go.
Yeah.
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 Oh.
I would like to go.
Wow.
Go
Do you think
go
it's going to be sold out?
Come on, man.
As in like no tickets available for you guys?
Credentials. We got media credentials, bitches.
Turner.
It's like, I'll be in there standing if I need to. I don't need a seat.
For sure.
I don't want to sit down next to people anyway.
Any one of my teammates had that like a big of
that's basketball
thing happening.
Yeah, basketball history. I don't give a damn. I don't care about LeBron. JR, I don't care about LeBron. Yeah. If that was Kevin Durant, I'd be in there. What?
Do you think you'll go out and party after? Do you think LeBron will
play
the next day?
I'll party for him.
We'll party together for him. We'll invite him. Hopefully he texts us back. Hopefully
Do you guys
get
him a gift?
No, yeah, our presence. Our presence. That's the gift. What do you mean? We're going to take days off of work to go fly possibly to like New York or some other town that he could be to watch him like do something. It's like that's a meaningful man gift.
Thank you.
Do you guys like wear his jersey?
What? Oh, fuck no.
Come on now.
Really, no.
Come on
what
now.
Is your guys' take on wearing another as a grown man wearing another man's name on your back for like a sporting event?
Is he retiring?
No.
Who?
Would you classify retiring bigger than this moment?
No.
I would like his last game.
Yeah, I'd rock a LeBron jersey for his last game.
Last game. On. I'm not
last game and I'm
I'll rock some
heavily.
Bronze shoes. I'll rock some bronze shoes. I got the, you know, shout out
that you make him send you.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh for sure. Like, oh, why do got them new ones too?
Channing's the first one. Channing's always the first one. Yo.
Always.
Do y'all make those new bronze 20s in a size 20?
18s, motherfucker.
And the next thing you know, we all have boxes of shoes. So appreciate you, Channing.
We appreciate. Hey, listen, closed mouths don't get fed.
11. Oh yeah.
And men's?
Open mouths also get fed a lot of bullshit. Can you? Yeah.
Oh.
No, women.
I thought you.
That's
to,
a good one, huh?
I thought you were about to say something else. Yeah.
Having said that, did you guys see his commercial for his shoes? And did he actually squat out of the water? Some people think that was edited.
For sure,
it was edited.
You know how hard that is?
No. It's the shallow end.
Allie, do you know how hard that is to jump out of water?
He can do it. I'm not saying that he is not capable of doing.
In clothes?
Do you know what would happen if you messed it up?
Boop, random shins.
You know what your shins would look like? Do you know what your knees would look like? Do you think that Nike was going to risk those 38-year-old knees on jumping out of water? Like
they were like, all right, LeBron, jump in. They were like, fake LeBron with hops. Come on.
CGI. And for people that don't believe it, go back and look back at when Kobe jumped over the Aston Martin. Similar effects.
That was fake. All right. Before we wrap this thing up, is there anything else that you guys want to, anything you're looking forward to? Anything that you're sleeping on for this season? Anything we need to be watching? This is where you could have put it on Wembanyama before the tip.
Before Wembanyama.
Besides freaking Webby Watch.
The Webby
okay,
Watch.
Okay, so I got three.
Are Jesus.
I got three. One is, are the Boston Celtics going to respect this new coach as much as they did Ime?
Okay.
Right? Because we talked about that. So what happens? One. Two, the Pelicans are going to be in Big Herb Jones and that team. Herb. I think Brandon Ingram's going to have a breakout year. If Zion can give the team 50 games, Valanciunas was averaging 14 and 12 for most of the season last year. So he was doing good. And then they have CJ, just signed Larry. It's a really fucking good team. And then number three, I want to see, this is weird, but I want to see what happens with the Wizards. Like, what the hell is going on over there? Like, Bradley Beal, he could do so much for a bigger team. No, I want to see, like, what they're doing with that. Like,
our expectations of Bradley Beal are not his responsibility. He's going to take all of the money. He's like, I don't even, I want to see Bradley Beal play more. That's me selfishly.
But yeah, totally. Same here.
I want to see him play more, but his team is trash. He keeps signing with the team. Understandably, he's taking all the money, which he should. But it is tough to see a very, very good, borderline great player really not play very meaningful games over the course of his entire NBA career. And
yeah,
that's
I want to see him on a big stage.
Yeah, like I can never tell you how good Bradley Beal was. I know how talented he is. I know that man can score and this, but like to me, good is performing in peak performance moments, right? Like going on playoff runs, hitting a big shot in the play. Like for him to be in the prime of his career there, and you know, I just
how
don't.
How much money is Bradley Beal making?
$300 million, fucking 200. Like he's.
I mean,
he's,
he just resigned, right?
Yeah, he just resigned.
Yeah. Okay.
What's and they had some good years with John Wall. They had some good years with John Wall where it looked like they were going to ascend and keep climbing. They couldn't get over the hump, but you kind of believed. And then once John got hurt, at that point in time, they became completely irrelevant. Mm. And it's just,
who do you think has a better record this year? The Hornets or the Portland Trailblazers?
Oh, the Hornets. The Trailblazers don't look – the Trailblazers –
All
right, guys, that'll do it.
That will.
You guys are awesome. We miss you guys. You guys have a great day. Season starting.